Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome to tonight's program. Let's hope we don't have the kind of glitches we had the other night. Well, that was last night. If we do, if you hear glitches, send me an email right away, okay? And let me say, it's not because the station you're listening to is censoring us. I had a lot of people assume that that was the case last night. These are Bell South. Bell South, we think it's Bell South screw-ups in the ISDN line down here. Most utilities do not give you service, just like most insurance companies do not provide health insurance. They provide means to separate you from your money. And the same is true with these telecom giants. What they're involved in is monitoring your phone calls and opening your emails and reporting it all to whoever happens to be the government at the time. But they don't provide very good service. So after having spent a day with this, with our satellite uplink people, which is Westwood One, we even had Bell South run a check on the equipment. Kathy has been switching out. What's that thing called? A Zephyr. I don't even know what this stuff is called. I watch her jump around here with her slide rule, and it's like, what? So, if you hear any screw-ups tonight, send us an email. I don't like to talk about myself on this program, but something has come up that I really want to vent about. The other day, was it Tuesday when I was on MSNBC, or was it Monday? I guess it was Monday on David Schuster's program. And, I like David. I like his program. This is not a slam against David at all. Usually when you're invited to appear on those programs, you know you're going to have about 4 minutes, if that. And, excuse me, the person, they usually try to get a lefty and a righty. And usually the right wingers, I mean, I've done this so many times, the right wingers, they're always liars. They're loudmouthed sons of bitches who say the most outrageous things and try to overtalk you. And there are a couple of people I just refuse. When MSNBC or CNN calls and says, hey, do you want to come on as a guest? I always ask, who is the other person? And if it's some scum-sucking right-winger I don't like, or I know it's just a loudmouth, fart breather, I just don't go. Just tell them, no thanks, I'll pass. I don't like that jerk. Armstrong Williams is harmless. You talk about a house Negro. Woo! Armstrong, and I've got permission to say that. I got permission from three black folk listeners to say that. But he really is. And not only that, Armstrong Williams is a con artist. At one time, he claimed to be a journalist. And, of course, he and Maggie Gallagher, another right-wing freak, were discovered surreptitiously taking money from the Bush administration and then pretending like they were genuinely, honestly, at no cost, as good little journalists reporting stories. Well, it turned out they're both goddamn liars, sneaks, and cheats, as all Republicans are. So, but nobody wants to talk about it. Armstrong Williams got fined. He was, didn't he get in all kinds of trouble? He had to pay a fine or something. So, when they said Armstrong Williams would be your on the opposite side of this issue, I said, I just thought to myself, okay, but why? He has no credibility. He's a punk. He's a half-wit. He's a paid whore, no offense to sex workers, for whoever will give him enough money. Armstrong Williams will jump through the hoop. He doesn't give a damn, as long as it's on the right, of course. So when I was on with this freak, David Schuster asked a question, I answered, and then Armstrong Williams answered it. And I tagged my answer with, and by the way, Armstrong, who's paying you to appear today to say these things? Well, Schuster immediately said, and again, this is not an attack on Schuster, I like David. He said, we're not going to go there, that was a cheap shot. And then we went on with the program. Well, I got a whole bunch of emails about this, people saying it wasn't a cheap shot. And I agree with that point of view, obviously. It's not a cheap shot to force somebody to take responsibility for the criminal activity that they've been involved in. Nobody has demanded that any of these punk bastards, from Karl Rove to George Bush to Dick Cheney, none of them have taken responsibility. John Yoo, none of these freaks. So if I come up against somebody in a televised situation, and the program producers who are listening to this, take note. I'm not going to get on the air and embarrass anybody. But if I am put on the air up against somebody with zero credibility, who is a liar, who is a paid shill and tries to pass himself or herself off as not being so, you're damn right I will mention it in the context of the answer to the question that these moderators ask. There seems to be an unwritten rule in television that when you go on TV, you're not supposed to force these rat bastards on the Republican side to take a look at the crap they've dumped onto America. You're not supposed to say, look, you vomited over there. Look, you took a dump over there. Look, you peed against the wall over there. We're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to just, let's just pretend everything's equal. It's not equal. So, again, given a chance to nick one of these bastards, I can't hurt them. Anything I say to Armstrong Williams has no effect whatsoever on his tacky-ass little career. There's always some right-wing organization that will love Armstrong Williams because he's a right-wing African-American, and they will dump bukus of money on him. Fine, go for it. I frankly don't care how he makes his money, except for the fact that during the time he's being paid by the Bush administration to tout this filthy, destructive No Child Left Behind that has damaged more children in the public school system than anything so far that the right wing has come up with. Armstrong Williams claimed to be an independent journalist when he wasn't. He was just another butt boy in the media for the Bush crime family. So Armstrong, henceforth and here on, if you and I are ever in the same forum together, I don't care if it's at a supermarket opening or on MSNBC, I will mention the fact that you're a liar and a shill and a scumbagger who has absolutely no credibility. Period. So there. That's enough of that. And like I said, I like David Schuster. I like him a lot. And I think a lot of these TV moderators, program hosts, they kind of have to do that, I guess. Although you don't hear some of the programs you don't hear that, but I don't blame Schuster for saying what he said. But I'm sure Schuster doesn't blame me for pointing out the obvious, and that is Armstrong Williams is a liar and has zero credibility. So, enough of that. In L.A., I got no information about this from anybody, any of our listeners out there except Roxanne. There was a pre-dawn earthquake in L.A. area yesterday. It was a 4.4 Temblor, barely strong enough to knock items off of shelves, but the L.A. Times reported it. And I just wonder if anybody is getting a little nervous. It was in this morning's L.A. Times, I think. Given the earthquakes that occur along this ring of fire, Chile being the most recent example, and the enormous, enormous strength of that Chilean earthquake, 8.8. That doesn't mean the California quake at 4.4 was half as strong. It means the 8.8 quake was about 1,000 times as strong. It goes up, I think it doubles with every tenth of a point on this Richter scale. I know it goes up in geometrically, not arithmetically. So, folks in L.A., good luck. All right? Good luck. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
He's not ready to make nice. It's Mike Malloy.
Celtic and Irish music tonight. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Also, for the people who have been writing in about how to renew their subscription, their podcast subscription, or how to subscribe, we have put up a FAQ page. So just go to MikeMalloy.com, and right there on the main page on the left, there is a link. Do you have a question about your podcast subscription? Then click here. All the answers are there. Our webmaster, George, put it up for you today. So if you have a question about renewing your subscription to the podcast, commercial-free podcast, or subscribing, go there. All right, MikeMalloy.com, and you'll find it. Mistake about the Richter scale. It is a logarithm in the difference between these numbers. So the difference between a 4.4, which hit LA this morning, or yesterday morning, and an 8.8, which hit Chile, is 40,000 times. The larger one is 40,000 times as strong. 8.8 is 40,000 times stronger than a 4.4. Yow. Here's another one. A math professor about the exponential reality, the Richter scale. The Chilean earthquake was roughly 50,000 times more powerful. So 50,000, 40,000, who quibbles when you get up to that? That's from Dr. Timothy. Oh, what are you laughing at, Kathy? Some of those comments on that website. Yeah, I'm not going to say the name of it. One of these right-wing sewer websites took my comments about Clarence Thomas and his wife and wrote an article about it. And some of the comments...
Oh, my God. It's better comedy than the people who were convinced that Israel was going to go to war with somebody, and the rapture was coming, and all the women, all the Jesus-loving women were going to go get breast jobs so they'd look good for their saviors,
for
get their nails done and get their hair fixed and go get the plastic surgery.
Right-wingers are just
crazy.
But
this is hilarious. I mean, they're... I went to a different thread because whoever writes for this particular
right-wing side,
neocon side, is obsessed with you in a very unhealthy way.
There's a lot of these white male right-wingers who want to have sex with me, and, I don't understand why. You know, for most of them, old enough to be their fathers, maybe that's part of it.
But it's really funny because they're taking you to task and calling you manic and saying you need lithium and. It's just, it's funny.
I know.
It's funny. I have to get my kick somewhere.
Right.
I spent all day with screwdrivers and duct tape and rubber bands trying to MacGyver our equipment back together
and
today.
That's when you're fixing dinner. But, this particular website. Oh, speaking of these right-wing sewers, where so many of these jerkwads cluster. And you know, the reason I say a lot of these right-wing white males seem to want to have sex with me is the kind of insults that they think are not transparent, that they level against me because of what I talk about on this program. And the language that I use, I use rough language, you're damn right. I don't advocate the murdering of our president or anything like that, but I'll call a son of a bitch a son of a bitch. I don't care if it's, I don't care who it is. But, it cracks me up. There's three or four of these sewer sites that are just obsessed with my little program, you know, and I get more ink on some of these sites than Rachel does. It's incredible.
We are more fun. many neuropsychologists will turn to Valoprex, valoprate or valporic acid to stabilize patients during an acute manic phase because lithium is a pain to titrate and monitor. Problem is, I don't typically use Valoprex. This is someone who's going to try to medicate you. I do use carbamazepine to slide therapy from lithium where I can. I usually try to avoid sedatives like benzodiazepines because they work against the patient. But I'm sorry.
God. In light of this really freakish lard ass Eric Erickson of redstate.com. Ah! CNN has decided to put this freak on every night at 7 p.m. with John King on his program, John King USA. This is to bring balance, because John King is such a puking liberal, I guess. So they bring on this puking red state Eric Erickson, who needs to go on a diet. He really does. You look so slobbish, Mr. Erickson. Not that there's anything wrong with weighing a lot, but this guy just looks blubbery. You know what I mean? This is from the political ticker. Under Erickson's leadership, redstate.com has become the preeminent right of center community online. Prior to leading redstate.com, he practiced law for 6 years. I currently serves as a member of the Macon, Georgia City Council. Now, when we come back, they refer to him as a conservative opinion leader, an agenda setter. Well, let's take a look at some of the things he said. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
He could not disobey, so he came back to Dublin to join in the fray. At Easter 1960, when Pierce called him out, the men from the Dublin battalion rode out. And in the post office, they nobly did show how.
Is the outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And just like I really appreciate it when these right-wing sewers, blogs, websites mention the program, my program, it just cracks me up. I love to see it. So I'll do the same thing for Eric Erickson, who we refer to here in Georgia as Macon Bacon, since he's on the Macon City Council. And thanks to Caroli at, or Carol Lee at Crooks and Liars for putting all this together. You know, calling redstate.com a right of center website is a little like calling the Tea Partiers Reagan Republicans. Now, here's another comment from the political ticker. Eric's a perfect fit for John King, because not only is he an agenda setter, King, or Erickson, whose words are closely watched in Washington, but as a person who still lives in small-town America, Eric is in touch with the very people John hopes to reach. With Eric's exceptional knowledge of politics, as well as his role as a conservative opinion leader, he will add an important voice to CNN's ideologically diverse group of political contributors. Now, that quote is from Sam Feast, CNN political director. Conservative opinion leader, agenda setter. What demon, pray tell, has possessed Mr. Feast? Let's have a look at some of Macon Bacon's opinions and agendas. About Ted Kennedy, he said, today Ted Kennedy plots our deaths. About Judge Souter, Supreme Court Justice, he is a goat-effing child molester. This is what Eric Erickson, who's going to be on CNN, a goat-effing child molester, and the right-wing blogosphere is aflame because of what I said about Clarence Thomas and his old lady, Ginny. So here this guy, he winds up on CNN, and he calls Supreme Court Justice a goat-effing child molester. He thinks Rush Limbaugh is Jesus. He has openly called for armed revolt and for beating politicians to a bloody pulp. These are all quotes. He said the media gang-raped conservative politicians. He suggested when Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize that the Nobel Committee has a, quote, affirmative action quota. Way to go, CNN. He said that leftists are Nazis and the Nazis were liberal socialists. He said the Alaska Democrats gave out Sarah Palin's Social Security number, which is a fact he pulled wholly from his own ass. He told his readers to send Senator Olympia Snow rock salt for her work on health care reform. Rock salt melts snow. Get it? He suggested that Obama was friends with the child molester. He claims that the left has more dominance in the blogosphere because the right are too busy raising the children they didn't abort. Now, this turd, this large, lumpy white boy, this chunk of making bacon, is being praised by the associate political director at CNN as a perfect fit for John King. Even though RedState.com is a heavily funded, long-standing arm of the Republican wingnut online noise machine, and Erickson himself is a propaganda spinner, a liar, and a troll. And the writer here at Crooks and Liars, Carolee, said, when I worked for CNN Interactive, Red Staters were paid to troll our political discussions and disrupt them, especially during the Clinton impeachment proceedings. Back then, CNN locked them off the site. Now they pay them to troll in real time on the air. Whew. Carolee also says, when I had little kids, I was really careful about what they watched on TV because a steady diet of violence really does cause kids to be desensitized to it. CNN's hire of Eric Erickson follows the same principle. By hiring someone who is bombastic, a liar, and a right-wing noise machine trumpet, they actually mainstream views that are highly or rightly considered the province of the fringe and the wacko. It's serious what they're doing. They actually want us to wish Lou Dobbs were back on the air in that hour. So anyway, there's your making bacon, this large, pasty son of a bitch who's going to be sitting in with John King. Eric Erickson of RedState.com. What a lump of lard.
I wonder if that CNN guy is the same one who decided it would be a great idea to bring Glenn Beck over to CNN.
That was
such a great fit.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Or the time he decided, someone at CNN decided, and you called because they had Rush Limbaugh uninterrupted for like an hour at the CPAC convention mm-hmm. when he was wearing the black shiny disco shirt.
Yeah, when he was trolling for anything that he could get his...
And CNN aired it uninterrupted. I don't even think they broke for commercials. It was fascinating to watch, but still.
These people are just astonishing. Oh, my God. Mike from Connecticut said, Mike, I heard Kathy mention that many right-wing rapture women wanted to get a boob job to impress Jesus when they go to heaven. Obviously, they're totally nuts. Why not save the money and have Jesus do it when they get there? Good question, Mike. I don't know. And this is from Earl. Regarding Dr. Marcus Bachman, the psychopathic, crazy son of a bitch married to the freak from Minnesota who owns a mental health clinic, Michelle Bachman and her husband. Earl writes, I'm sure I'm not the first to point out that the good doctor, quote, received his PhD from an online so-called university in Cincinnati. There's no mention on the website of an undergraduate degree. Can you get a bachelor's from homeschooling? You can get anything you want. I get emails all the time offering PhDs for 2 weeks of study. And there's not really study. This popped up today. A Walmart store in New Jersey. People are in there shopping. In the first place, anybody who goes to Walmart ought to have part of their anatomy removed. I know, even though they started selling organic food, right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, Walmart store in New Jersey. People are in there spending what few nickels and dimes most of us have left, and an announcement comes over the PA system. A male voice, this was Sunday evening at a store in Washington Township in southern New Jersey, and the male voice calmly announced, "Attention, Walmart customers! All black people, leave the store now." shoppers in the store at the time said a manager quickly got on the PA system and apologized for the remark. And while it wasn't clear who was responsible, it's probably Eric Erickson, for the comment, many customers expressed their anger to store management. Sheila Ellington of Monroe, New Jersey said, quote, I want to know why such statements are being made because it flies in the face of what we teach our children about tolerance for all. She and her friend were in the store at the time and said they now plan to boycott Walmart. Officials at Walmart in Bentonville, Arkansas, said the announcement was, quote, unacceptable, end quote, and they're trying to determine who made it. And how it happened. You dumbasses, I'll tell you who made it. You know who made it. And how did it happen? The guy turned the switch on. Duh! The company said in a statement today, quote, we are just as appalled by this incident as our customers. Whoever did this is just wrong. Clearly, this is completely unacceptable to us and to our customers. Now, this is not the first time Walmart's had to deal with this kind of stuff. There have been several past instances of black customers claiming they were treated unfairly at Walmart stores. And, of course, you know that Walmart has faced lawsuits about women passed over in favor of men for pay raises and promotions. However, the NAACP has said the company worked hard in recent years to show it cares about diversity. And a former Walmart employee who was shopping at that store today said, quote, as a black man, I've heard worse things, end quote. Yeah, just go to any teabagger in the rally with these psychopathic sons of bitches and you hear something a lot worse. Other than appalling, stupid, and sad, it's also a reflection on Glenn Beck and the teabaggers and Clarence Thomas and Ginny, his wife Ginny, and Michelle Bachmann, and, you know, this whole clutch of scum. All right, we have a break here. I got to get back to that website and read some more of those comments. Oh, my God. Woohoo! Well, I think, you know, fair is fair. You can say whatever you want. And as far as the new hire at CNN, this big slab of making bacon, Eric Erickson, saying that Supreme Court Justice Souter is a goat-effing child molester. I haven't gotten to that point yet where it concerns Clarence and Ginny Thomas, but give me a little time.
Monkey-free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, Norm Ornstein, I'm sure the name is familiar to you if you are of the liberal or progressive persuasion. He had a paragraph today that's making its way around the internet, hypocrisy, a parliamentary procedure. And Norm writes, any veteran observer of Congress is used to the rampant hypocrisy over the use of parliamentary procedures that shifts totally from one side to the other as the majority moves to minority status and vice versa. But I can't recall a level of feigned indignation nearly as great as what we are seeing now from congressional Republicans and their acolytes at the Wall Street Journal and on blogs, talk radio, and cable news. It reached a ridiculous level of misinformation and disinformation over the use of reconciliation, and now threatens to top that level over the projected use of a self-executing rule by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. In the last Congress that Republicans controlled, from 2005 to 2006, Rules Committee Chairman David Dreyer used the self-executing rule more than 35 times and was no stranger to the concept of so-called deem and pass. That strategy then decried by the House Democrats, who are now using it and now being called unconstitutional by Wall Street Journal editorialists, was defended by House Republicans in court. Dreyer used it for a $40 billion deficit reduction package so that his fellow Republicans could avoid an embarrassing vote on immigration. I don't like self-executing rules by either party. I prefer the regular order, so I'm not going to say this is a great idea by the Democrats. But even so, is there no shame anymore? No, there isn't, Norm. And not only that, not only is there no shame, the thing that's astonishing to me is the incredible depth of the lies that Republicans, all Republicans, I've said this a million times, I don't care if they work at one of these sewer websites or if they work at the Wall Street Journal or if they're in Congress, every single thing that comes out of a Republican person's mouth for public consumption is a lie. It's a complete lie. And the proof is not in my saying it. The proof is in what these rat bastards do. Not only is it all lies, but every one of them is a whiny little thumbsucker. Have you noticed that? Even the multimillionaires on Fox and on talk radio are thumbsucking crybabies. Any one of those guys, if you walk up to them and just bitch slap them on the middle of their foreheads, they would collapse into a pool of whining, crying, blubbering hysteria. You know that, and I know that. It's just they're all liars and crybabies and whiners. I don't like the idea of deem and pass either, and I hope to God that this incompetent Nancy Pelosi, who has as much business being Speaker of the House as I do, I hope she doesn't attempt to use that. I really hope she doesn't attempt to use that. But for these filthy, thumb-sucking Republicans to make an issue about this is because the American public knows nothing about it. And that's because Democrats don't sit back in their wet diapers and scream and pound their dinner trays and yell when the Republicans are in power and do this. The Democrats just put up with it. And that's because the Democrats, I don't know, they are enablers. They are facilitators. They are like somebody who has a drunk spouse and just says, it's okay, baby, you can drink. I'll take care of you. Daddy loves you when you're drunk anyway. I'm right here for you. That's what the Democrats are. Well, you keep doing it, Democrats. You keep facilitating and enabling these filthy goddamn Nazis until the day comes when you get facilitated and enabled right into some concrete booties and dumped into the East River. Crazy bastards. I'm talking about Democrats now. Some crazy stuff out there. USA Today had an article today about how during the past decade, the Environmental Protection Agency, during the Bush-Cheney years, the EPA's commitment to keeping children safe from toxic chemicals went right out the window. Top EPA officials during the Reagan years routinely ignored scores of recommendations by the EPA's own Children's Health Advisory Committee. That's according to a report released today by the Government Accountability Office. The consequences of all this are substantial, health experts told lawmakers during a hearing of the Senate Environmental Public Works Committee. Children breathe more air in proportion to their weight than do adults, and because their bodies are still developing, toxic chemicals affect them more profoundly. Exposure to chemicals today portend, quote, a flood of chronic diseases, end quote, in the future, according to the science director for the advocacy group Science and Environmental Health Network. But the GAO report documents, quote, a reduced emphasis on children throughout the EPA and high-level failures to ensure that the interests of children were considered when the agency acted, end quote. Of course. Of course. Of course. The GAO report documents how the EPA allowed the Children's Health Office to all but waste away, quote, from 2002 to 2008, the office had four acting directors and no permanent director. It suffered the effects of inconsistent leadership and direction that hurt its ability to fulfill its priorities and commitments. It was also just another dumping ground for this goddamn filthy Republican Party that wants the entire country to go Nazi. Children, put the little sons of bitches to work. They'll work for 25 cents an hour, won't they? Seven past the hour. You want to hear something really spooky? You know, these dumbass right-wingers, Republicans, are always talking about how liberals or Barack Obama are going to take away their guns and their constitutional rights and round them all up and so on and so forth. I get extremely tired, I guess, of trying to explain that it's the right-wingers who do this. The Nazis are always right-wingers. Joe Lieberman, John McCain, along with Jim Inhofe, the new guy from Massachusetts, Brown, Saxby Chambliss from here in Hallville, Senator Lemieux, Jeff Sessions, Senator Vitter, and Senator Wicker. These nine fascists have introduced a bill into the Senate. It's called the Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act. Bill from Ottawa sent this to me. It's probably the single most extremist, tyrannical, and dangerous bill introduced in the Senate in the last several decades, maybe ever. It goes way beyond the Habeas Corpus Abolishing Military Commissions Act. This act empowers the President of the United States, and believe me, they're not thinking of Obama. These are all Republicans. The President of the United States to imprison anyone he wants to at his discretion by simply decreeing that they're a terrorist suspect, including American citizens arrested on American soil. The bill requires that all such individuals be placed in military custody, and it explicitly says that, quote, they may be detained without criminal charges and without trial for the duration of hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, end quote. Which most people with a brain left still understands is going to last for decades at least. What this is basically a bill designed to formally authorize what the Bush administration did to American citizen Jose Padilla. Arrest him on U.S. soil, imprison him for years in military custody with no charges. This bill has produced not even a ripple of controversy, not even a mention, much less a ripple of controversy. Now, I'm going to take a moment. You right-wing pigs, you 10-year-olds mentally, who run around out in the woods with your beer guts and your goddamn deer rifles and pretend like you're real men, you better wake up. These are your team members introducing a bill, the first act of which is going to be to come and get your guns. And don't kid yourself about whether or not your beer gut-laden balloon asses could hold off one squad of Marines. They will turn you into hamburger, you dumb jerks. So here it is. Here it is. The Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act. Hey, Glenn Beck, you smelly breath bastard. Why don't you talk about this one? Republicans. Republicans are introducing this. The two main sponsors, Lieberman and McCain, the Mopsy twins, frickin' frack, will continue to be treated as centrists. They will be continue to be invited to the Sunday shows. And can you imagine any real resistance to the passage of this bill? God damn. Now, if you want to look it up, it's S3081. S.3081. That's how the bill is scored. It is the Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act of 2010. S3081. Don't email me and ask me, what was that number? S3081. Unbelievable. Section 2. Section 1 is the title. Section 2. Military custody requirement. Whenever within the United States, its territories and possessions, or outside the territorial limits of the United States, an individual is captured or otherwise comes into the custody or under the effective control of the United States who is suspected of engaging in hostilities against the U.S. or its coalition partners through an act of terrorism or by other means in violation of the laws of war, or of purposely and materially supporting such hostilities, and who may be an unprivileged enemy belligerent, the individual shall be placed in military custody for purpose of initial interrogation and determination of status in accordance with the provisions of this act. Anyone who is suspected and who puts together the qualifications of being a suspect of engaging in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. So what does that mean? If I go to Italy, are they still one of our coalition partners? And I drop a canister stink bomb in Berlusconi's office because I think he's a psychopath, I'm going to be arrested and detained forever. That was Part A. Part B of Section 2. An individual who may be an unprivileged That means you are not really a soldier. An unprivileged enemy belligerent. And who is initially captured or otherwise comes into the custody or under the effect of control of the United States by an intelligence agency of the United States may be held, interrogated, or transported by that intelligence agency and placed into military custody for purposes of this act if retained by the United States within a reasonable time after the capture or coming into the custody of effective control by the intelligence agency, giving due consideration to operational needs and requirements to avoid compromise or disclosure of an intelligence mission or intelligence sources or methods. Do you understand what that means? They can snatch you. You, yes, you, goddammit, you, listening right now. You could be charged by the next Republican president of the United States with an act of terror. You are a suspect. And not only can they transport you, the intelligence agency can transport you into the custody of the military, they don't have to tell you what the charges are because they can say, well, it will compromise our intelligence operation. So you poor son of a bitch, you poor, miserable American citizen, you are disappeared for goddamn ever. Do you understand this? This is Lieberman and McCain and Jeff Sessions and Jim Inhofe. Huh? You like this? Worried yet? Huh? It just goes on and on and on. I've never seen anything like this. This country is now about half an inch away from total fascism. And to people who listen to this program, either in this country or via the internet in Europe, who remember to some degree the experience of Nazi Germany, your blood must be running cold right now. So you goddamn filthy Republicans, you right-wing teabagging thugs, you jerkwad militia types, there it is. Lieberman and McCain and Sessions and Inhofe and Brown and four more Nazis ending the U.S.
Nazis wishful like me to be back where the dark morn sweep down to the sea.
Watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Here's an interesting part of this act. Introduced by these Republicans to take away the little 10-year-old, mental 10-year-olds running around with their rifles out in the woods. An individual who is suspected of being an unprivileged enemy belligerent shall not, during interrogation under this subsection or this act, shall not be provided Miranda rights or otherwise be informed of any rights that the individual may or may not have to counsel or to remain silent, consistent with Miranda v. Arizona, which was decided way back in the 60s. So, all rights to counsel, all Fifth Amendment rights, gone. Now, who's doing this? Come on, you jerky boys. Who's doing this? These are Republicans. These are conservatives. I got an email here from Barrett, who says, notice how they framed this bill so that it does not apply to, quote, domestic terrorists, end quote, such as Timothy McVeigh or Eric Rudolph. He was the bomber here in Atlanta. Now, I haven't gotten that far into it, Barrett, so I'm not aware of that. But it's just astonishing. And again, if you're listening to this program, for heaven's sake, you should get online and get a copy of this. It's right there. I mean, you can get it. It's right there for you, okay? S-3081, the Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act of 2010. Whew. S-3081. My God. Oh, man. Not entitled to any constitutional rights, and this can be done by anyone in the executive branch upon the orders of the President of the United States to be held without charges, without explanation, in a military lockup forever. Man. Dennis Kucinich announced he's changed his mind and is going to vote in favor of this legislation being presented in the House. And Democrats got some news in the divide over abortion language in the health care bill. Did you hear about this? Today, a group of Catholic nuns, for God's sake, representing 59,000 nuns in this country, broke with their pedophilic bishops, the ones who opposed the legislation on the grounds that its restrictions on federal funding for abortion were too loose. The nuns sent a letter to lawmakers urging them to pass the bill. The nuns? Those little bitches? You're supposed to shut up. Go tend the poor. Go take care of the poor. Go empty bedpans. What are you talking about? Don't you know your place? What's wrong with you people? Aren't you supposed to be Christians? And shut up! That's the right-wing attitude. Good for you, nuns. I hate the organization that you work for because I think it is a corrupt, filthy, pedophilic organization. It's getting to the point where this one starts to believe that the organizing principle of the Catholic Church is pedophilia. That's it. Strictly pedophilia. That is the raison d'etre of the Catholic Church. Access to children for physical and sexual abuse. Well, the nuns have broken with the pedophiles and said what the bishops are saying is hog snot. Vote for it. Oh, what's going to happen? Who's the guy from Michigan, the member of Congress that got all upset about the abortion part of the, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about. Oh my God. Just a second. It'll pop into my mind. You know what? Stupak. That's right. Bart. Old Bart. Oh my God. So, Kucinich and all the nuns, 59,000 nuns, my God, that must be every single one of them. We'll be right back.
truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Not only has a group of 59,000 Catholic nuns, a group representing 59,000 American Catholic nuns, broken with their pedophile bishops and opposed the legislation on the grounds that its restrictions on federal funding for abortion were too loose. Another House Democrat who had raised concerns about the abortion restrictions announced today that he would support the legislation too. Representative Dale Kildee of Michigan said in a statement that he was convinced that the Senate legislation, which the House will vote on, did not change current law banning federal subsidies for abortion. See, that's another lie that these filthy teabag trolls have been putting out there. You see these grungy-looking bastards standing up in the public parks while all these middle-aged to 70-something Social Security recipients and Medicare recipients are screaming, "Keep the government off my Medicare." And there they stand holding up papers and letters and handfuls of, I don't know what the hell they're holding up, but they screech and scream about how this is going to force everybody to pay for abortions when the exact opposite is true. But the rat bastards who listen to this, the brain dead right wingers, the Republicans, the conservatives, the mentally 10-year-old boys who are encased in the bodies of 50-something men who run around in the forest with their deer rifles going, "Oh, I'm going to kill a liberal!" Dumbasses. Oh, my God. They don't understand none of this. They're jerked this way and then jerked that way by the multimillionaire right-wing talk show host. And the multimillionaire talk show hosts like Beck and Hannity and O'Reilly and Limbaugh and the rest of these thugs, they do it for sport. I've said before, they do it for the same reason that you see a dog will occasionally sit down and lick his privates, because he can. That's why these guys do this, because they can. Because they can. Oh, man, you miserable right-wingers. You, boy, I'll tell you what, I would open up a vein if I woke up like in a Kafka novel and all of a sudden I was not a cockroach, but all of a sudden I was a conservative. I would immediately reach for the nearest razor. The Senate approved today the first in a series of bills that will try to get a little employment going in these United States. Tax breaks to businesses and other incentives. It was approved by the Senate by a vote of 68-29. What does that tell you? It'll give employers an exemption from payroll taxes through the end of 2010 on workers that they hire who've been unemployed for at least 60 days. Have we ever been unemployed for more than 60 days? I think we were, weren't we?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We were unemployed for, about 5 months before we finally went to work for Air America.
Well, there were several times, but yeah, most recently was when I was noticeably pregnant with Molly and couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting hired.
Yeah. If somebody who has been unemployed for 10 days... I would go into the worker or to the employer and say, "Yeah, I've been unemployed for over 60 days." That gives a tax break to the employer. This bill also extends the Federal Highway Construction Program and other steps being taken to infuse money into public building projects. This is the stuff that this pig, this senile pig from Kentucky, Jim Bunning, held up, right? 11 Republicans voting for the measure. Judd Gregg, the creep from New Hampshire, Republican, said, "This isn't so much a jobs bill as it is a debt bill." Oh, go away. Oh, my God. Were you saying that when you and your buddies decided to murder hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq, you two-faced hypocritical punk? Good Lord. $20 billion for roads and bridge construction, extends the federal highway program through year's end, and it puts back to work those temporarily furloughed 2,000 workers who had to deal with no paycheck thanks to Jim Bunning. Maybe we'll get lucky and Bunning will have a massive stroke. This is from Dale. Michael, used to listen to Chicago from here in western Michigan. Obviously lost touch when you left. Your views on these right-wingers are on. They truly are as bad as you say. Why people consider you over the top and your opinions is beyond me. These wealthy bottom feeders are willing to send the lower classes off to work and off to war in support of their stock portfolios. I call them Barca Lounger warriors. They can watch our fighting men and women kicking foreign butt on television for their amusement. I fantasize about Limbaugh and others of his ilk in combat gear trying to kick down doors in Baghdad. Of course, that's not going to happen. Americans have died because of Bush's ego and a war run from corporate boardrooms. We were supposed to be in Iran by now setting up shop, but that didn't work out. Really, to call these people bottom feeders is to praise them. One can only hope there is an accounting at some point, but I'm afraid the system supports them and their type. By the way, I'm not a flaming socialist. I consider myself moderate to liberal in my views. It's just that we have slid to a bad place over the years and no one seems to have noticed. Well, you notice and I notice. What's the latest? Now it's in Brazil. Brazilian authorities are investigating priests accused of sexually abusing altar boys after a video allegedly shows one case of abuse. It was broadcast on television in Brazil. Oh, my God, on the SBT network. It shows an 82-year-old priest having sex with an altar boy who had worked for him for 4 years. 82. According to a statement from the church, the three priests are, quote, supposedly involved in acts yet to be proven of sexual abuse, end quote. We're going to send them someplace else. I know. We'll send them into the Amazon jungle. How's that? They can abuse all those little dark-skinned natives. Nobody will care about that. A Vatican spokesman said officials there are aware of the case. It's all over the goddamn planet. Do you not get this? U.S., Brazil, South Asia, Europe, all over the place. The organizing principle of the Catholic Church is child molestation. Oh, my God. A bishop in Rio says, he released a statement saying that in light of the grave and lamentable facts made public on television, the priests have been suspended. The bishop added, quote, we reproach without restriction, with hearts broken by shame and sadness, the facts of the report, which despite their not having been proven, have outraged human and Christian conscience. Well, at least you made the distinction there between humans and Christians. Thank you, Bishop. He added that none of the alleged victims or their families had ever contacted the church regarding the allegations of abuse. Are you kidding me? When your Nazi Pope, when he was Archbishop in Germany, worked out a deal where abuse victims were sworn to secrecy. And what do you think the swearing involved, Mr. Rio de Janeiro Bishop? Something along these lines. You say a word, you little crappy little punk, and you'll burn in hell forever. I'm your priest. Jesus speaks through me. Now pull your pants up and stop crying. And don't say a word or you'll go to hell. Hell! The bishop in Rio said the church was cooperating with police and we're going to conduct our own investigation and we will not comment further on this case. The organizing principle of the Catholic Church is child molestation, pedophilia. Good God. There's two other things I've got to get in here tonight. This rallying cry now about states' rights. There are a lot of states who are trying to break up the union, and they're going to succeed. Kathy and I were talking about this today. There is no doubt that within a set number of years in the future, it could be 10, 20, or 50, the United States of America is going to cease to exist. It's going to be the Federated or Confederated States of America. It will be the Federation of American States, but the United States of America is coming to an end. You do understand that, don't you? You do understand that. I don't know how old you are, but your grandchildren or great-grandchildren will not be pledging allegiance to the United States of America. Your children, your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever, will be pledging allegiance to the flag of whatever, you know, whatever flag their region of the former United States has put together. You understand that, right?
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Have you noticed lately how furious God is with the upper Midwest? He is. He has decided, because of Michelle Bachmann, he is going to punish the state of Minnesota and North Dakota, too, just for the sheer hell of it. The Red River in that part of the country is being used by God, because Michelle Bachmann and Governor Paul Enty and some other right-wingers up there are pissing God off. I'm talking about the Christian God. Paul Enty has been forced by God to declare a state of emergency, and he's activated Minnesota's National Guard to get ready for the flood and emergency relief. North Dakota Governor John Hoeven mobilized the National Guard. Mayors from Fargo and other affected regions are getting together in North Dakota with John Hoeven to handle this. Thousands of citizens from central Minnesota to Fargo, North Dakota, are taking flood prevention efforts. See, if you all would remove Michelle Bachmann from office, God would lift the curse. What you have done, you people in Minnesota and North Dakota along the Red River, you have infuriated the Christian God. Those of you who watch Glenn Beck have also infuriated him. Jesus and God apparently got together and decided to bring down bats and scorpions and lots of river water on you people because you are watching Fox News and you are listening to Michelle Bachmann. You allow Michelle Bachmann to stand on God's earth. It's not yours, Minnesotans. It has nothing to do with you. And it's not Native Americans. It's God's. Your Christian God. I mean, this has to be, because every time there's a calamity, this piece of human waste, what's his name from the 700 Club, whose name I hate to mention, he blames it on the liberals and the gays and the progressives and Democrats. Okay, Reverend Robertson, why is God ripping the hell out of Minnesota and North Dakota? Could it be because of Michelle Bachmann? I think it is. I think it is. So you people in Minnesota, prepare for the worst, because it's coming. God has dropped the veil of protection that has draped itself over the great state of Minnesota and the great state of North Dakota, you are doomed. You are going to wake up and find water up to your upstairs bedrooms and your pillows and blankets full of scorpions and spiders. This is what God does, according to Pat Robertson. This is exactly what God does. So now what you can do probably is start praying for this. I mean, maybe burn a queer or two in some gay bar in downtown St. Paul. Maybe that'll help. If you can find a lesbian and tie her to a stake, that might help. Throw in a couple of liberals. You might be able to do it, but I don't know. God's pissed. He is. The hairy thunderer is very, very angry. It's obvious, isn't it? Floods. Rumors of floods. You people better be careful. You better be careful. God. And what is it with this this James Kennedy, this crazy religious freak at Coral Ridge Ministries, whose minions are flooding the internet with warnings that reinstallation of the fairness doctrine, the broadcast fairness doctrine, is the end of Christendom? Yeah, it's I might get into that a little bit next hour, but he is all of his. His crazy people. You know, these are Christians who would like to burn Jews and queers and liberals at the stake. They would in a heartbeat. Now, I realize that sometimes you can get all three with just one body, but it's happening because this paranoia is happening because Congress is going to consider reinstituting the fairness doctrine. And that obviously is the work of Satan, you know, to tell Coral Ridge Ministries that if they put someone up, which they do occasionally, that says, let's burn the queers at the stake, they also have to put someone up that says, no, let's not burn the queers at the stake. And obviously that infringes on their First Amendment rights to talk about burning the queers at the stake. You see what I'm saying? So they're very, very upset. The Reverend James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries. So they're trying to get the word out. All these nice white people, these well-groomed white men who all look like robots. Well, they look like that, Mike, because they are. They're trying to get the word out that authorizing the fairness doctrine that was ended by during the Reagan years will somehow loose Satan, and he will immediately run to Minnesota and rip down the sandbags and cause Minneapolis and St. Paul to flood. You people are insane. You are just insane. Massively and completely insane. Yeah, you ought to go to their website, coralridge.org, read about the healthcare lie, and oh my God, these people. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us if you can. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. All right. Here's a little humor for this evening from Bill in Ottawa. What do you give the pedophile who has everything? 3, 4, 5. Another parish. I got an email here from Igor Dolgov, who writes occasionally. And not to mock him, but to respect his use of English, I'm going to read to you what he wrote. Dear Mike, I have not had the experience of living with fascism, but I had 40 years experience life in the Soviet Union. I congratulate, quotes around that, my American friends, and I want to tell them the words of the, quote, brilliant Comrade Lenin. Correct way to go. This is the road to total dictatorship. He's talking about that bill I was mentioning that has been introduced by Republicans. This is the road to total dictatorship. Keep vote for these freaks, and soon you will seize at night in your homes. Your wives will send to the camps, too, because she, funny story about the president. Your kids will be arresting, too, as children of parents who enemy of the state. My dear Americans, you danced your country and allowed democracy to change the corporate fascism. Good luck. Igor Dolgov. And again, not to mock Mr. Dolgov's use of English, but to just put it the way he wrote it. Back in the 80s, the Reagan administration decided to end the Fairness Doctrine. Fairness Doctrine was still in effect when I got into radio in 84, and I think in 88. Or was it 86, I guess. I'm not sure the exact year. I think it was either 86, 87. Reagan signed the law that ended the Fairness Doctrine. The Fairness Doctrine was very simple. It just said that anybody who held a broadcast license had to present on where it concerned controversial issues. And controversial, even back in the 80s, you could still define the term, you know. The pig man, Limbaugh, hadn't started to pollute the country yet, and the rest of these right-wing freaks were still not in media. So it was easy to determine what was controversial. For example, if you decided to talk about the Israeli suppression of Palestinian rights, then you had to present a counter-argument that the Israelis were not suppressing Palestinian rights. In fact, the Palestinians were refusing Israeli domination. Now, I'm hedging a little bit there, but you understand what I'm talking about, all right? The Reagan administration said enough of this nonsense. That was the blade of the guillotine going up where it concerned rational media responsibility. The blade was released and came down and decapitated any idea of fairness in broadcasting during the Clinton years. And that was the Consolidation Act of 96, 97, 98. The Consolidation Act allowed media companies to own as many media outlets in a given market as they chose. Prior to Clinton's Consolidation Act, media consolidation signing, there were restrictions. You could only own, I've got this all wrong because I never paid attention to it, but you could only own a limited number of radio and or television and or newspapers in a given market. All of that is gone. Reagan ended the Fairness Doctrine with his signing of that bill. Clinton ended or brought about consolidation of media. It got to the point where I remember when J-Corp was the name of the company. They owned maybe 10 radio stations, and then 15, then 20, then 100, then 200, then 300. Then they became Clear Channel, then 300, 400, 500, 700, 800, 1,000, 1,100. You see how it goes. So there is some talk, and it's been going around for about a year now, about reinstatement of the Fairness Doctrine. The rule was abolished in 87. And as I said, that required the stations allow for the airing of opposing viewpoints. Now, a lot of members of Congress, mostly Democrats, if not exclusively Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, have expressed support for reinstating the Fairness Doctrine. So how is this affecting these murderous, bloody Christians, these evangelical Christians, most notably scum like the Coral Ridge Ministries leader, D. James Kennedy? Here's what they say. Quote, "The reinstatement of the Fairness Doctrine will have a chilling effect on the free speech rights of broadcasters," warns Dr. Frank Wright, president of the National Religious Broadcasters, on the March 21st Coral Ridge Hour program. Now, the March 21st Coral Ridge program, of course, has not been broadcast yet because this is March 17th. But it's coming up. Dr. Frank Wright, you wonder where he got his doctorate, expressed concern about giving federal bureaucrats the right to determine what is, quote, controversial, end quote. He goes on to say, or will go on to say on the program, quote, "The government would make that determination." Now, this guy leads this Association of Christian Broadcasters, whose members represent millions of listeners and viewers and readers. He goes on to say, in essence, you have a government intrusion into speech at the outset because the government would decide which speech is controversial and which speech is not. And then this sick son of a bitch goes on to say, the founders of our country would have found absolutely anathema this idea of the government being involved in the direction of speech. That's why we have a First Amendment. Oh, my God. Now, you got to wonder why these right-wing Nazi evangelical Christian organizations would be so upset about the reinstatement of the Fairness Doctrine. Partly because then they won't be able to go on their programs and talk about queers being the spawn of Satan without having someone come on and say, no, queers are not the spawn of Satan. They're just normal human beings, unlike you freaks. That's just one example. Beating children, you know, overt, conscious, deliberate child abuse, which is what these right-wing Christian organizations promote. Now, if this Fairness Doctrine is reinstated, when they talk about, well, it says in the Bible that, you know, if you have an unruly child, and I certainly agree with this, you know, God doesn't like unruly children, so you have to beat them into submission until they understand. Now, if they do that, which they surely will because they do it now, then they'll have to say, on the other hand, there are those who think that beating children is not proper. Obviously, they are Jews or somebody. We understand that beating children is necessary. And then when it comes to the submission of women, you see what I'm saying? On and on. That's why these Christian broadcasters are so upset. Now, is anyone in regular media as corrupt as it is? Is anyone else speaking out about this? Why the Christians? Listen real close. Do you hear any Jews say anything? Jews, are you saying anything about it? Not a sound from the Jews. Muslims! 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 No, not a sound from the Muslims. Atheists! Yoo-hoo! No, nothing. Liberals! Dead silence. Crickets. Buddhists! What about this? It's only these hardcore, violent, vicious, hate-filled Christians personified by Dr. D. James Kennedy and his Coral Ridge Ministries. They want you to be aware, America, that the reinstatement of Fairness Doctrine will have a chilling effect on their right to talk about abusing women, beating children, and executing the queers.
He's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. So anyway, viewers of the Coral Ridge Ministries, have you ever watched this guy, James Kennedy? You talk about Hitlerian wannabe. I mean, he doesn't have the oomph that the Nazi dictator did. But Kennedy is one of those Christian Reconstructionists who truly believe that the destruction of constitutional law is a must if Jesus is ever going to be happy and come back and rapture everybody. And that in place of constitutional law, or as they like to call it, because they love the vowels that come out with this, the consonants, secular law. Because secular law has to be replaced with God's law. It's just a matter of time to these people. This is what they're working towards. Focus on the Family, Coral Ridge Ministries, all these people. And the, you know, the smarmy, stinking self-righteousness that they exhibit, all of them exhibit, is part of the turnoff. But mostly what the turnoff is they want to see the death of the United States more than anything. Well, actually, the death of all sovereign nations, but especially the United States. You know, they're not from here. They're from some European country or some, I don't know. They're certainly not native to this land. And they come here and they have spent the past 300 years, 400 years, totally polluting it and corrupting it and turning it into the sewer that we now live in, all for the sake of their crazed God system. And it's just... I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to breathe in the United States when you think that you are living in a culture where extreme fascist attitudes can exist in politics, entertainment, religion, education, and not only exist, but flourish. What the hell is it? What makes the ground here so fertile for these Nazis? I don't know what it is. I really don't. New York Times today. I know, New York Times. But it's hard to tell whether what's going on across the country should be called a movement or a backlash or political theater. What it is, states declaring their rights, in some cases denouncing federal authority. All this is on a roll, according to New York Times. Governor Mike Rounds of South Dakota, Republican, signed a bill into law on Friday declaring that the federal regulation of firearms is invalid if a weapon is made and used in South Dakota. Last Thursday, Wyoming's Governor Dave Freudenthal, a Democrat, signed a similar bill for that state. The same day, Oklahoma's House of Representatives approved a resolution that Oklahomans should be able to vote on a state constitutional amendment allowing them to opt out of the federal health care overhaul. I think that happened in North Carolina, too. In Utah, lawmakers embraced states' rights with a vengeance. One measure said Congress and the federal government could not carry out health care reform, not in Utah, without the approval of the legislature. Another bill declared state authority to take federal lands under the eminent domain process. A resolution asserted, quote, the inviolable sovereignty of the state of Utah under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, end quote. Alabama, Tennessee, and Washington State are considering bills or constitutional amendments that would assert local police powers to be supreme over the federal authority, according to the 10th Amendment Center, a research and advocacy group based in L.A. And Utah, again, not to be outdone, where all these weird Mormons live, they passed a bill last week that says federal law enforcement authority, even on federal lands, can be limited by the state of Utah. Goes on and on. And this is what leads me to believe that the country is breaking up. We're right on the verge of breaking up. I say bring it on. I really do. I think it's a good idea. This country, we've had the experiment of unity. We fought a war to keep the crazy white people in the republic and take away their right to own other people, among other things. But it's time, I'm beginning to feel, to go ahead and break up the United States into a federated system. And I want to be included in the part, though, that retains the federal government and the budget of the federal government and the taxing power of the federal government. And let the people break away. You people can go ahead and eat as much filth in your food or feces in your drinking water as you want. You can stop vaccinating your children. You can live like a bunch of goddamn animals in the gutters, but you certainly will continue to be able to own your guns, right?
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, I guess I didn't make it clear. D. James Kennedy died 2 years ago. Coral Ridge Ministries, though, live on. The zombies who were put in position by the former dance instructor. Yeah, he was an Arthur Murray dance instructor in Tampa until the hand of God touched him. By the way, you can now get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 Mini Cooper models. For details, visit miniusa.com/info. Regarding the the Senate bill introduced by Lieberman and McCain to give dictatorial powers to the president, and they're not talking about Obama. It's kind of like the enabling legislation of Germany when the Nazis took over. But Tom writes, Mike, I wonder what constitutes a belligerent, as identified in that legislation. If we do not pledge allegiance to their God, are we unpatriotic enemies of the state? If we don't flush the toilet in a Walmart urinal, are we suspects? If we're overheard asking someone what they think about conducting illegal wars on the basis of lies for the profits of Blackwater et al., will we be snatched up and disappeared? Now that the corporate-run prison guards union have all the rights and privileges of a citizen, will natural-born citizens be arrested for impersonating a human? Sort of like the way farmers are arrested and fined into bankruptcy for having wind-blown Monsanto pollen in their cornfield? And how deep shall the bloody rivers of hell need to flow before the Christian-Jewish lobby of right-wingers can float their caravan of slave ships off to their cotton fields, assembly plants, and federation of plantations once called the USA? Maybe when the subscribers to the Mike Malloy Show are rounded up and have their tongues cut out by the Boy Scouts for a Kill a Heretic merit badge and have their kidneys harvested for Chinese body part distributors, we'll know we have arrived. Tom in Joshua Tree, California. Oh, my God. He's scaring me tonight. It's awful. It really is. Let's not reinstitute the fairness doctrine, because that will end Christianity. But do, let's pass this Senate bill that will negate 230 years of attempted of attempts by various factions of people in this country to establish justice. That's all. That's what the Constitution was all about. The amendments to the Constitution, all of them, even the ones later on abolishing slavery, they were all about the attempt to find justice. That's all. Everything flows from justice. You say, no, no, Mike, everything flows from truth. No, I don't think so. I think truth flows from justice. You got to have justice to begin with. And this legislation, of course, murders justice finally. Justice, the idea of justice in this country is 230 years old plus. It's feeble. It's bent over. It has all sorts of disease in its internal organs. It's just, it's ready to collapse. It's tired. It wants to die. And we are going to preside over the death of justice, you and me. We're going to allow it to happen because we are Americans and we do not. We do not insist on human rights, justice, liberty, truth. We don't. What we do when we start to smell the stink is, a lot of us, what we do is just retreat and say, it's not my fight. I don't want anything to do with it. They're all bad. Or we dress up in camo and go running around in the forest with our 30 caliber deer rifles, pretending like the first Marine platoon that pops up over the hill over there, we're gonna shoot. Oops, I'm dead now. Crazy. So, states' rights. States' rights. The government of the United States, the unity of the United States, the idea of the United States is dead. It really is. I really don't think that I'm going to make a general statement that will probably get me in a lot of trouble, but I don't think that new immigrants to this country, whether they're from Latin American countries or Asian countries, I don't think they really are invested in the idea of the United States of America. I really don't. Not because they are stupid or ignorant or freaks or whatever, but simply there is not the connection. I don't think I know I'm starting to sound like somebody out of that movie Gangs of New York, but I think people who have been here for a while, whether born here or have been here for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, have a deeper understanding and appreciation of the United States of America. So recent immigrants who are not committed to the political idea of this country, not yet. I think eventually immigrants do become committed to that idea once they understand how the machine works and how necessary it is for people to stick together and use the democratic system. But right now, you know, when they first get here, the first 4, 5, 10, 15 years, and I think that's been true with just about every immigration group, whether it was Italians or Jews or Irish or whatever. You know, mostly European or Mediterranean, who came here. It took a generation. It wasn't the immigrants who were committed. Not all of them. Some were. But the next generation, the native-born sons and daughters of the immigrants, who were more committed to the theories of the United States of America. That's gone. So if you discount that now, and add into the mix the so-called sovereign authority people, the ones who, because there is a black man in the White House, they've decided they can no longer exist as part of this union. And that's exactly what it's about. To say otherwise is to be a goddamn liar and a fool. We had 8 years of the dismantling of the U.S. Constitution, and you never heard Rick Perry talk about leaving the union then, you see. So it all goes back to racism. All goes back to racism. It's okay to have one Negro on the Supreme Court, although it's a little irritating that he has a white wife to these people. it's okay to occasionally have a black man exist in the Senate, although let's try to keep that to a minimum. As far as the House of Representatives, you're always going to find some blacks who will weasel their way in there. But as far as the real governing stuff, you know, the president, the attorney general, that's white people's job. And it's a little dodgy about having a white woman be Secretary of State. That's a white man's job. What's going to happen next? They're going to have a dark-skinned Secretary of Defense? Oh, Lord, that's the time we're going to take up the rifles, aren't we, huh? No! All of this is based in racism. Every single bit of it. You never heard these red state yahoos and these militia dumbasses talking about any of this during the 8 years of destruction of this country under Bush and Cheney. Illegal wars, murder, mayhem, lies, deceit. Never heard a word. Ah, we love you, George. Goddamn, let's go get a beer. Let's go kill some Arabs, too, while we're at it. Never heard a word, did you? But you see, Barack Obama, he's from Kenya. Did you know that? He's a Muslim. Did you know that? Yeah, he's illegal. We ought to impeach him. That's what we ought to do. Stupid bastards. So that's what all this sovereign state nonsense is. Every single bit of right wing or conservative ideology right now is based in racism. And when you have some old handkerchief head like Armstrong Williams trying to act like he is a conservative Republican, it is because poor old Armstrong is just trying to survive. Just trying to survive. He understands. He understands what's going on. But let me tell you something, Armstrong. No sooner do these Nazis take over than you get a ride in the boxcar, you fool. States' rights, a rallying cry for lawmakers. That's a headline in the New York Times.
We'll die with both of my time. I've been dreaming of a time when the English are sick to death of Labour and Tories and spit upon the name of Oliver Cromwell and denounce this royal line that's absolute.
Happy St. Paddy's Day. regarding this state sovereignty movement and the dismemberment of the United States into the Federated States of America, scholars say that these efforts by the states, if pursued in the courts, would face all sorts of very formidable roadblocks. Article 6 of the Constitution says federal authority outranks state authority. And on that bedrock of federalist principle rests centuries of back and forth that states have mostly lost, notably the desegregation of schools in the 50s and 60s. That would be one of the first things that would happen, would be the official resegregation of schools, although in certain parts of the Federation of the States of America, although it is happening de facto anyway. But this is where the teabaggers show the Mount Everest of their ignorance. These incredibly dumb asses talk about that, you know, they wave copies of the Constitution. They say, if it isn't in here, I don't want anything to do with it. You tell that president, you know what they're saying. And if they understood Article 6, they would also understand, just like Rick Goodhair Perry down in Texas, who wanted to secede from the Union so he could get elected. He wants to be governor. What's Rick Goodhair run? Governor again? Is he run for governor? I don't even know. I really don't care. But, you know, these Constitution, these little hand-held copies of the U.S. Constitution, these little handbooks of the U.S. Constitution that these dumbass teabaggers wave around, you know yourself that not one of them has read it. First of all, they're functionally illiterate. They don't have any idea what the language means. But if they could understand it, they would read Article 6, which says essentially to the teabaggers, sit your asses down and shut up. If you want a better system, work to improve the system. Stop talking your little squirt nonsense about, we're going to leave. That's what we're going to do. I don't want the federal government's hands on my Medicare. Uh-huh. Well, when you do finally break away from the federal government, where are those checks going to come from, dummy? Huh? Where's that SS check coming from, dummy? Where, if there's no federal agencies to guarantee your retirement, even though that whole idea failed because of the Bush crime family, but even if that happened, if you do break away, who's going to guarantee whatever financial instruments you little teabag freaks live on, huh? Who's going to? Nobody. And then what? Then the predators in Wall Street would just walk in and steal everything. You stupid idiots. You teabaggers. I have never come across a group of Americans more ignorant than these so-called teabaggers. Oh, God. Article 6 says federal law is supreme, and if there's a conflict, federal law prevails. Now, there have been some efforts that seem headed for a direct conflict with federal laws or the Constitution. Others are premised on the idea that federal courts have misinterpreted the Constitution in the federal government's favor. Well, and this is where dumbassery really takes over with these teabaggers. Well, it's been misinterpreted, bunch of liberals. Article 6 doesn't say that. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Lawsuit filed last year by the Montana Shooting Sports Association after the state's so-called firearms freedom law took effect, for example. The lawsuit does not say that the federal government has no authority to regulate guns, but that courts have misconstrued interstate commerce regulations. Ah! Yes! Of course! Absolutely! Misinterpreted, I tell you. It's all been misconstrued. It has nothing to do with the Fourth Amendment, Second Amendment, Fifth Amendment. It all has to do with interstate commerce. That's what it has to do with. Indeed. Well, that's it for tonight. I I've had enough. How about you? I'll cry, Uncle. I'll say that's enough. I'm not referring to Clarence Thomas or his very pale wife either. I'm just saying, time to quit for tonight. Hope you had a good time. I certainly did. It's one of the cheapest dates you'll ever have. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.